up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
That's me. I'm Kate. Good to see you too, Derek.
Next, we've got Peter. Pete, glad to have you with us.
Up, up and away. Oh, wrong movie.
No, in your beautiful balloon?
No, Superman. Didn't you used to say that?
No. Sure. Anyway. And last but not, certainly not least at this point, we've got Steve.
Hey, hey everyone. Hi, Pete. Hi, Keith. Hey, Derek.
I know
I'm doing well.
Guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up. And got some kind of interesting shows coming up too that we'll get to in a little bit. So, but this week we are reaching back to 1991 and watched The Rocketeer, set in 1939, I believe it is.
Something like that, yeah.
And it is about a pilot that isn't that great of a pilot, and then somehow they end up with a rocket pack that was designed and built by Howard Hughes that the FBI wants to get a hold of and the mob wants to get a hold of because the Errol Flynn actor, who's actually a Nazi, has hired some gangsters, including Jaws from James Bond. Bottom line is it's a Disney or 90s family action movie. It's fun. So now one thing thinking about this movie is when it was made is closer to Sleeping Beauty's debut than it is to us.
I didn't need that kind of negativity tonight.
I mean, it's been 22 years. It was 32 years after Sleeping Beauty, and it's been 33 years since this movie has been made. Which goes to show you how Jenny Connelly has managed to stay so well preserved for 33 years. So, Pete, I'm going to start with you on this one. What soared to great heights about this movie?
So, I'm going to leave others to talk about the plot, but here's the things I liked about it. I did like James Bond number 4. Timothy Dalton in this movie. I thought he played kind of a fun villain role. And I thought he played it, with a lot of flair and everything like that. I enjoyed his character. You mentioned Jaws, but I had to bring this up. So that bad guy, the big hulking bad guy, that was, I don't know who the actor's name was, but he was wearing a Rondo Hatton mask the entire movie. And Rondo Hatton was an actor from the 30s and 40s, kind of, I wouldn't say super famous, but he did a lot of like monster and gangster movies, and he had this really kind of deformed, it was that face.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, the director and producers of this movie decided, let's have the bad guy have Rondo Hatton's face. And I recognized that was who it was, and I kind of loved it, except that if you knew it was a mask, you could tell because he couldn't move his face. So it's just, so early on, they kind of kept him in shadow a lot, and it wasn't so bad, but as the movie went on and he was like more apparent, it was, so I thought it was both absolutely wonderful and ridiculously cheesy at the same time to have that actor dressed like that. So those were my two favorite things. And Jennifer Connelly, I thought, was incredibly beautiful, but also looked like she was 15.
Yes,
even though she wasn't. So, Steve, what about you?
I agree with you with Timothy Dalton. I think his character was awesome. Really enjoyed him. I think Jennifer Connelly did the sort of the 30s damsel, did that very well. I guess this is one of her first, when she was just starting off.
She would have, when this came out, she was 21.
21?
She was 21?
One.
Yeah. And so probably filmed it when she was 19 or 20.
Yeah. I also enjoyed Peavy, the person who
was the designer.
Yes, I enjoyed him. I also enjoyed, for the most part, the action sequences when they were in there. A lot going on, sort of that, you know, I know they're trying to go for the 30s sort of serial movies where you have lots of actions and the actors in peril and stuff. So I enjoyed those. So those were the things that stood out for me.
Yeah, I'll agree. I enjoyed the action sequences on this one, which when you think about it being 1991, the level of special effects in this the special effects actually hold up when you realize, for the most part, that is it was all the Rocketeer's motions was all stop motion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was stop motion. It was not him in front of a blue screen or anything like that. It was all
I assumed.
Okay. Stop motion from ILM. Mm-hmm. So with a full-sized articulable robot.
Okay.
I like that you could tell some of the stuff was, you know, quote, green screened, but some of it they actually did with like practical effects type thing, like the shot of the Zeppelin coming in over the observatory. You could tell that was two different shots, but you could also tell they actually filmed a model of the Zeppelin, not just a picture of the Zeppelin coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the effects on this one. The music is phenomenal. It's one of James Horner's earliest movies.
Oh, okay.
But sounds a lot like Titanic. There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he also did Titanic. And so I love the music, that the soaring theme of this, as far as like aviation, like movie type themes, this and the theme to the right stuff are probably the two. Just you hear this all. This is on the loop at Soarin' a lot, at Epcot and at California Adventure. So, yeah, there was a lot of good. There was a lot of stuff to like about this. Kate?
So I am going to throw myself under the bus on this. I watched this movie while I was on an airplane. And I started it and I was like, oh, this is good. For some reason, I had it in my head that this movie was set in present time, 1991. So at the very beginning of the movie, it's not super, super obvious that it's set in 1930, whatever, because he's just like in a plane, right? And so I was like, oh, it might just be like a little crop duster, like in Field of Dreams or Twister or whatever. And so then I was convinced that he had somehow gone back in time when the plane crashed. And I was like, what? Like, wait, what? I was...
Confused. So Kate is back.
Unfortunately, I was in the air, so I couldn't even Google. Like, I couldn't even look up like the plot of the movie. So once I figured out, oh no, this was set in early World War II. Okay, it made way more sense.
Hey, was it Kate or lubricated Kate?
It was great. I was totally sober. It was fine. But oh my gosh, so much. I did not really expect to super like this movie, but I enjoyed it. The costuming was beautiful. Oh my gosh, Jennifer Connelly's dress. When they went to the swanky restaurant, holy moly, like just the costuming was so good. The music, so good. And I am a sucker for like good gangsta movies. Like, yeah, see? So this had a little bit of everything that I liked. I loved when he put the note in the soup. I loved, he kept the main actor, and I can't remember his name now. Not Alan Arkin, the other one.
Billy Campbell.
Yeah. I kept thinking that he looked like Josh Hartnett from Pearl Harbor. And so I kept getting another reason I kept getting messed up is because he looks so much like Josh Hartnett that I was like, when is this set again? Like, Josh Hartnett wouldn't have been old. So, and I was in the air, so I couldn't look up who the cast was. So, but I thought this movie was fun. I thought it was fun. I thought it was, it had a good mix of humor. It had a good mix of, like I said, costumes and music, drama. You had gangsters, you had Nazis, you had, and then this like crazy robot helmet. The Rocketeer helmet was ridiculous, but anyway, I enjoyed it. It was, I may not watch it again, but it was all right.
See, to me, I couldn't get David James Elliott out of my head, the guy who played Harm on JAG.
I
had read before the movie started, it said Alan Arkin, and I was like, okay, Alan, I know that name. I know that name.
You didn't think Hawkeye from MASH?
At first, I thought Alan Alda. And I was like, no, I know Alan Alda because I love MASH. And then I thought, is it Alan Thicke? Like, So I'm waiting because I was like, Alan Alda, that's the dad from Growing Pains. So I'm waiting for the dad from Growing Pains to keep showing up.
And he didn't. What's even better is it's Alan Arkin with hair or a bad name, but still.
So there you have it, folks. That's me. Next.
Okay. Now, Steve, what about this so crashed and burned? I mean,
Billy Campbell, the lead actor. After I was done watching, I'm thinking, what did I not really like about this movie? And I think I just had no opinion of him. I wasn't rooting for him. I didn't really care what happened to him. But I think back to the Indiana Jones movies, when those first few minutes, you're like drawn into Indiana Jones. Here's this new person. There's another movie I'm like, okay. That was a big thing. And I think some of it, the Nazi blimp flying over the observatory, like, and no one notices. I think at that point, I would have been fine if it had been in disguise or something, but with, I guess, the big Nazi symbol.
How do you disguise a blimp?
But it was a Nazi. I mean, and a part of it, I'm going, I think.
Remember at the beginning of the movie, there was like a newsreel that said that the blimp was touring around the United States.
Okay. I must have missed
Angeles.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. I felt part of it is I knew that the Nazis were involved because I read the little blurb beforehand, but I felt part of it was I felt like Timothy Dalton's character, like, did they reveal earlier? Or I felt like the plot could have done a little bit better building up suspense or holding off on the big reveal. Even though I loved Timothy Dalton, I thought he was just that perfect sort of that great evil character that you would like. So for me, it was really the lead character. I felt I could have done much better. So
for me, look, guys, the plot could not have gotten much more predictable at all. I mean, at all. The movie was great when he was flying. The rest of it was painful to watch at times just because. Yeah, bored. Yes, exactly. And I actually talked about this with my mother earlier today, and she said that was my review when I watched this the first time, is when there's flying and action stuff going on, it's awesome. When there's, it's, it's kind of my anti, it's the anti-Marvel syndrome. This one, I want all the flying in the action because nothing else happens that's not like super predictable. And I mean, everybody saw everything coming from 30 miles away. I mean, the whole blimp. Now, that actually was a blimp that they built in Germany. It was the sister ship of the Hindenburg, which kind of makes the explosion symbiotic. It actually never made it out of Germany because they ended up scrapping it for the metal because they figured out blimps didn't have any way to win the war because they tended to blow up. Just the campiness of all of it got a little old.
Well, would you liked it if they went more campy, like just went over the top?
I don't think the way they were playing it is semi-serious. They could not have gone more over the top. Keeping it as a semi-serious summer action movie, the Disney summer action movie, I don't think they could have gone more over the top. They had to keep it top to keep it at least somewhat believable for the kids. That, I mean, this was definitely a family oriented movie aimed at like 11 and 12 year old boys. So, which is a target audience you don't see today, but that was the target audience. That 9 to 12 year old boy was the target audience for this.
Yep. And 9 to 12 year olds in 1991 love W.C. Fields references.
Yes. Especially when he shows up. Okay, no, I will say I might have been the minority on that because I'd watched enough of the old Looney Tunes cartoons that I actually knew who W.C. Field was. So, when did Robin Hood Men in Tights come out?
I think it would have been just after this.
Okay. Just because it's a case of, I mean, the Errol Flynn character in this compared to Cary Elwes in Men in Tights, I mean, it's just. So, I mean, the plot just as good as the flying was, the non-flying was that bad for me. Kate?
Yeah, my biggest criticism was it was very predictable. It was very campy, which I appreciated when he was like, hey, he's got my girl. I need to borrow your jetpack for a little bit because he's got my girl. I was like, oh no, this is wild. So that was crazy. But I needed the main guy to have a little bit more
likable personality.
A little bit more George Bailey from It's a Wonderful
Back to the Future. Sorry.
It's Wonderful. I needed him to be a little bit more charming and a little bit more bumbling.
Confused Steve.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry. I needed him to be a little bit like.
Or completely confident. One of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I needed him to almost have a little bit of like if Jimmy Stewart and Don Knotts had a baby. Like, I needed him to have the charmingness of Jimmy Stewart,
but
the bumblingness of Don Knotts.
No.
Do you get what I'm saying? But do you get what I'm saying,
I get what you're saying. I don't agree.
You're wrong.
Okay.
I needed him to be have a little bit more character.
I will agree with that. He needed to be more than just a pretty boy.
Yeah.
Flyboy.
And I would have loved if Jennifer Connelly didn't look like she was 15 going on a date with a 30 or 40 year old. That made me physically uncomfortable.
But that was done on purpose. That had to have been done on purpose. The whole him skeeving on her had to have been. Yeah, that was the idea behind it.
Uncomfortable. Yeah. When they were at dinner, I was like, I am so uncomfortable right now. But yeah, so that's it. Well, it wasn't a bad movie. It was just a little flatline. Like, it just was very predictable. Pete, you go.
Yeah. So to me, like, if I looked up pacing problems in the cinematic handbook, this movie would be a poster child for that. I mean, and you guys basically said the same thing. It's like times where this movie was very good and other times where it slowed to a crawl and you're just like, why are you kind of showing me the same thing? I feel like particularly that they almost immediately find out that this guy has the device.
It's like 10 minutes into the show.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It feels like it's 10 minutes into the show. And yet there's this convoluted plot to get it from him. They can't find him ever. They just keep crossing paths. And like the Errol Flynn character, he knows who has it, but he sends his goons looking for it, not telling them who has it. Some of the plot mechanisms were really dumb and repetitive. And I don't know. And especially I the biggest laugh I got out of this movie is when an entire regiment of Nazis just comes out of the trees at the end of the movie.
How bad those Nazi costumes were. As good as the others were, they had hoodies on with like puffy hats, and it was just the Nazi costume.
There were disguised Nazi commandos hiding in the woods, because if there'd been 50 people with swastikas on hiding in the LA woods, people would have noticed.
With like paratrooper harnesses on,
it was so dumb. I laughed out loud when they all came out. I was like, I don't know. It was, it was the pacing of the movie wasn't right. And it made for, it just made it a very mediocre movie in my view. Like there's some good segments of the movie, and there were some segments of the movie kind of, as Derek said, like when he had the rocket pack on, good movie. When the rocket pack was off, bad movie.
I think that's part of it. I wanted more of the Rocketeer. Like there's little bits and pieces.
And less of him trying to get her to finally put his trust in her, trust in me anyway.
Right.
For the record, this was the 24th grossing movie in 1991. Ended up making about $46 million on a budget of 30, which in reality is not breaking even, because you essentially double whatever your budget is with advertising budgets, et cetera. So it got outperformed by such great things as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. Naked Gun 2.5. Pete, what was the top movie in 91?
91 was that Robin Hood?
No, that was number 2.
Okay. 91. Jurassic Park wasn't until 93.
Right.
I don't know.
Terminator 2.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But that 91 was that. Home Alone, Silence of the Lambs, City Slickers, Dances with Wolves, Beauty and the Beast. I mean, there were some good movies that came out that year.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, guys, this is set in 1938, 39. I think it's actually 39. But anyway, it is. I would say this is not truly a war movie, because yes, the Nazis are in it, but so what? So, Kate, I'm going to start with you. What is your favorite World War II era movie? So it's set in that time, but it is not a war movie.
Ooh, well, so okay. I didn't know it couldn't be a war movie. So It's a Wonderful Life and White Christmas are two that were filmed right after the war. They have nods to, both of them have nods to the war. But to be honest, Pearl Harbor is one of my favorite World War II movies. I think that movie is brilliant.
It's a Wonderful Life definitely takes place over the war period, because his brother goes off to war at one point.
Harry Bailey. No,
I was doing this because White Christmas is actually 10 years, but bulk of it happens 10 years later in like 55.
Yeah. I mean, the first minutes of the movie are during the war, but then everything else is after. So, but Pearl Harbor would probably be mine. So what about you, Pete?
So I'm not going to pick the one everybody's probably thinking I'm going to pick. I'm going to say, which is, this movie is all time on my favorite movie list, and that's Casablanca.
See, that's what I thought you were going to pick.
I thought I was going to pick Casablanca.
Like, I love that
movie. Or plot problems.
What?
Emotion. Okay, you can't get through it because it's emotional or because it's slow.
The plot.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because they were writing the picture as they went.
Oh.
No, there's no plot problems with Casablanca. Anyways, I thought you guys thought I would pick Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I did think you were going to pick an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
I'll do that for you, Pete, because that's what mine is. because that's probably in my top five, or yeah, Indiana Jones would be in my top five. So that's one that goes to me. I think that's when I got done with this. I was looking for something closer to Indiana Jones, the action and stuff, and I guess wasn't getting it. So Indiana Jones.
And actually I'm completely with Pete on this one. It's Casablanca for me, just because coming out in 1940 as it did, 40 or 41, one of the two, but with it's not, the Nazis are a big part of it. And see, that's where it's almost on the edge, because it is such a propaganda movie.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it.
It's got great characters. It's got a great love story. Perfect ending for a movie.
However, if I want a fun movie to watch, it's set during this time. Guys, how about The Sting? Robert
Redford. I thought of that.
Robert Redford and Paul Newman, and just
great movie.
Casablanca is a more significantly important movie. Mm-hmm. I will sit and watch. The Sting is on the list of, if it's on Frozen, that's no one else gets the remote. That's what we're watching the rest of the way through. And it's got the music. It's got the plot. It's got the long con on the audience. I mean, it's such a great movie.
Yeah.
So,
and it has a long con on the audience, but even once you know the con, it's still a great movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The con is not what makes it.
Right.
But including James Earl Jones's father is in it.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Robert Earl Jones plays Luther. The grifter who ends up getting killed is James Earl Jones's father. So, and you can hear it definitely. So, okay. As we always do, we rate shows on cups of pixie dust out of 5. Kate, The Rocketeer.
2.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably won't watch it again. But it wasn't as terrible as some things we've watched, but 2.5.
The only reason I'm surprised is you said you really kind of liked it, and then you're giving it a 2.5.
It was fine. I didn't hate it. But I probably won't watch it again.
Yeah, I'm not that far off from Kate. I think I'm gonna give it a 3. It's on the margin of 2.5 to 3, but I didn't say this earlier, but I saw this in the theaters and I have not seen it since. So this was whatever you said, 33 years between showings, and I remember not really liking it, but I didn't remember why. Watching it this time, I remember why, but I probably enjoyed it more just because I think I understood some of the 30s references better than I would have when I was 20 years old. I think it's a movie I would recommend people to see at least once. And that's kind of where I get to with a 3. So I'm going to go with a 3.
And I'm going with Kate, 2.5. I liked it. Didn't enjoy it. I will never see it again. So, and I didn't see it when it first came out in theaters. I thought I had, but if I did, I don't even remember it. So definitely a 2.5.
And for me, it's such a tale of two movies. It's got the, you know, if it's the last 30 minutes, yeah, I'll sit and watch it. If it's much before that, when he's not flying, no. So I think I'm going to go with the 2.5. I was originally 3-ish area because it was okay. It was fun, but the more I've thought about it, it's just, I can't give it a 3 just because it's not an amazing movie. So again, it's the, will I go back and watch it again? And to me, that's kind of my 3 level. And
yeah, and that's usually with me too, is like 3 is more, I would watch it again. But right. I could see like 5-10 years down the road, someone says, oh, let's watch the, you know, Yolanda's, let's watch The Rocketeer. Yeah, it wouldn't kill me to watch it. So yeah, I mean, 2.5, 3, what's the difference really? So we're all in the same ballpark, right?
He's an engineer and doesn't know the difference between 2.5 and 3. So
I know the difference. I liked it slightly better than the rest of you.
That's fair. Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
We only have one thing for the Disney Plus news. In Marvel news, a semi-forgotten Marvel series, Vision Quest, is going to start production this fall. This was a previously announced series that had fallen by the wayside, but hiring notices have gone out in industry publications, so there's a better than average chance this is happening. And that's it for the Disney Plus news.
So this is the sequel to WandaVision, right?
Yes, it is. It is White Vision. Which I bet I would not be a bit surprised, because he in the comics is the leader of the Young Avengers. He's kind of the mentor of the Young Avengers. So I wonder if that's where this is going.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, next week we are coming up on the 1st of May. And while May Day is great, we cannot watch the best May Day reference movie ever because it is not on Disney Plus. So we are going to go for May the 4th because Star Wars is everywhere. We're going to watch season 2 of Star Wars Vision. This is something that actually came out last year that Pete's been saying how great it was. Gina in the background had been saying how great it was. And we just have not gotten around to it. Kate was complaining a little bit off screen, but I told her at least I didn't make her watch all of Bad Batch. Yes, I'm throwing
you under the bus. Throwing me right under the bus.
Absolutely.
Kate, I think you might actually like this because it doesn't rely on really any knowledge of Star Wars. It's
okay.
It's like 6 individual. I forget how many there are. I think it's 6.
6 or 8. Okay.
Yeah. Individual shorts that are set in the Star Wars universe, but are unrelated and for the most part unrelated to any characters we know. So without giving any spoilers, I think that this season is more interesting because the first season was all anime, and this season they went to a lot of different countries. So there's a lot of different styles of animation and storytelling. And so I think, you know, I'm not saying you'll like it, but I think it'll be more interesting than a lot of the Star Wars stuff is to you.
And there's 8 episodes, but they're all about like 10 to 12 minutes long.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so that's coming up next week. Guys, if you have suggestions of what we should watch in the future, we've got a lot of opening. After about Memorial Day, it really opens up because there's only so many times we can talk about Star Wars series before we need something else to watch also. So if you have suggestions, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. If you have, or get a hold of us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, anywhere, we answer all the messages we get. We have new shows that come out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, I'm Derek, and we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcast and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at plusplatoon. Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.